Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, that's a little better. You got to get this extrovert excited. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I just wanted to, we didn't have a bulletin today. We're in the midst of change. And so I just wanted to let you know the figures so far this month is 4714. We usually try to get 15,000 for the budget. The building fund is the same, 15,000, and we got 1,175 bucks. So, you know, I look at that and you know what I think? I think we don't believe we're building the church yet. Isn't that what that suggests? Is there's a few people in our church that really believe we're going to put a building up there. The rest of us are discouraged. Okay, so think about that. I want you to think about that because we're going to stop and pray about the building because we had a prayer meeting, okay? And we had a prayer meeting, some things moved, but they're not moved all the way. And right now, we need to pray for the fire department that they see that our blueprints are the number one hot item, right? So let's just stop and pray about that. Lord, we just so want to thank you for the many answers to prayer we've seen since that prayer meeting. You know, it was really neat because Lord Clyde felt an answer to a lot of what was going on in the middle of that prayer meeting and went and talked to the county and things are moving. But Lord, right now is the fire department that's holding things up, and we just pray that you will move them and move them in a direction to get this done so our builder can get going. So we ask that. And then, Lord, I just pray that you will give us a real spirit of encouragement and a spirit of giving that we might give to this building and get the thing paid off before we even get in there, Lord. So that when we get there, we can live and minister without having to pack up and set up and tear down and all those kind of things and put more effort into the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 11, or chapter 4, verse 11. There is no chapter 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. If you have your Bibles, if you're fairly new, I thought we were going to have it up there. Is that off? It'll come back on. Okay. I want to look at another laborer in the ministry that Paul mentions at the end of Colossians. Because, you know, you get down to the end of these epistles, and we have Tychicus and Mark and that kind of thing. And somehow, I think we get it in our minds when we hear from Paul, there are these people that just kind of hang around and get discipled, and they don't have high value. And we looked, and what did we find out about John Mark last week? He wrote the Gospel of Mark, for heaven's sakes. He's with Luke. Luke writes the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts. He's with some very powerful people, and yet the Lord came to Paul and asked him to preach the gospel to the world, and these people are joining. And now today, we've got another one, another big player that sounds like they're not a big player. And let's go to verse 10 and take a look at it because I want to talk about Justice. His name is Justice Barsabbas. And you think, who in the world is Justice, right? I looked at that when I started studying. Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, who wrote a mere gospel of Mark, okay? About whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. Why? Because we remember he defected, didn't he? He left the ministry and went away. And I just think the application here for us is, hey, we've done some pretty stupid things in our past, but that doesn't disqualify us from the present and the future. And Mark rises back up, gets back up with Paul, and ultimately writes the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus, who is called Justice. Okay, now we've got a no-name nobody here. We don't have the faintest idea, stole Jesus' name, mom did, or whatever, and who is called Justice. Jesus is the Hebrew, Justice is the Greek name. These are my only fellow workers in the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision, who are Jewish. They have proved to be a comfort to me. So the question is, and it's a very question I have when I start studying this, well, who in the heck is Justice? Is he talked about in the Bible? Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to figure out who Justice is. Now, I want to set up the scene for you as we read it. It's a pretty dramatic event that's happening, and it's even prophecy being fulfilled at the moment in Acts 1, starting with 1:15, that was spoken by David in Psalm 69 and 109. And what was it? Judas had committed suicide because he had led the soldiers to Christ. He had betrayed Christ. He ultimately commits suicide. He's now deceased. And the apostles have to gather together and choose another disciple, right? The successor to Judas, according to the scripture. And they know the scriptures and they know what they're supposed to do. So we get to Acts 1:15, and it says, and in those days, and I'm going to read a little bit here so you can catch it. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of the names was about 120. So there's 120 disciples there. We only have 12 apostles, but 120 disciples. And said, men and brethren, this scripture had been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of, or by the mouth of David concerning Judas. So all those years earlier, David had prophesied about this moment. And I want you to look at that. Which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle of, and all his entrails gushed out. Oh, isn't that a great thing to learn from the Bible? And, you know, the other part says that he hung. And so what most scholars think is he hung himself, the rope broke, and he fell down in the midst, and his intestines fell out. It doesn't matter what happened. He's dead. Okay? 19, and it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language Akeldama, which is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms. Now look at this. Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, Psalms 90, 69, and let another take his office, Psalm 109. Therefore, of these men who have accomplished, or who have accompanied us all, the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, whose surname was what? Justice. Oh, Justice is a big player. We thought he was a little guy just being mentioned in Colossians. Everybody in Israel and in the world knows who Justice is. They knew who Mark was. They knew who Luke was. These two men, Justice and Matthias, the other pick, were there right from the beginning when John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness and baptizing people in the Jordan. They walked through Christ's ministry, and you can remember at times when Jesus said some harsh words, and it says, and a lot of people didn't follow him from that point on. Justice did. Matthias did. And they hung in there with the 12. And they saw him being resurrected, and they saw him alive after the resurrection. So these two men were qualified to take Judas's place among the 12. And why? So that when people said, well, Justice or Matthias, did you ever see Christ risen? What would their answer be? Yep, saw him in person. Did you ever hear Jesus say this or that? And they would be able to say, oh yeah, I was right there. It was during the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus said that to the people. Or he said that on the Sermon on the Mount. So the apostles found these two men that had been there and they were witnesses of Christ's life. So let's go to 24. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go down to his own place. Those are harsh words, aren't they? And they cast their lots. They threw the dice. We don't even know what that was. I looked all over the internet. I looked through books to see if somebody would show what casting lots were. Can't find it. If anybody has it, let me know. I'd like to know what that is. But when I went and I looked, they showed dice, they showed straws, all that kind of thing. But the point is, they cast lots believing that God would choose the person. And to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go down to his own place. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, I just want you to stop and feel something for justice at this point. How would you feel if you're the runner-up of being one of the 12 apostles? Man, that would be a drag. I want to be one of the 12 apostles. It'd be like, okay, there's this elite board. It's like running for city council, only we're talking about running for the heavenly city council is what it is. And justice loses by vote, casting the lots. And, you know, I look at that, and I'm telling you, every one of us have had those experiences in our life. Haven't you lost at times? Haven't things not gone your way? Hasn't the vote gone for somebody else? And pretty soon you think, oh, man, why do I even do this? Why should I even work for the church, man? You know, everybody else gets the breaks. I don't get the breaks. You know what I'm saying? You go through that thinking process, and I don't know where justice was, but I do know one thing. It didn't affect him. It didn't affect him. He didn't mind being runner-up. Some of us would have minded being runner-up. And so Matthias goes in. He takes Judas' spot. We don't hear from justice for a while in the scriptures. I want you to go to Acts 18. I want to look at another piece. Judas Barsabbas didn't make it. And sometimes Steve Blackwell doesn't make it. And sometimes you put your name in there, don't make it. And you know what the wonderful message is? I want to give you the punchline before we get going. God doesn't stop there. He keeps going with us. But we see that justice is with Peter, James, and John. He eventually joins Paul, and he begins to minister to the Gentiles and serving Paul himself. We get all the way to the Colossians where Paul is in prison in Rome, and who's there? Justice. Faithful, faithful justice. Faithful Mark, faithful Timothy, faithful Titus, all those guys. And according to Acts 18:7, he was called the worshiper of God living in Corinth. First, he offered hospitality to Paul when Paul came there. And we find out in the scripture that Justice was kicked out of the synagogue. Even though he's a Jew, he was kicked out of the synagogue because he couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And it was irritating to him because they wanted Jesus to fade. They wanted to go back to what they had. After all, he was a firsthand witness. It was pretty hard for him to not talk. When he saw Jesus raised from the dead, and he had mentioned that in the synagogue, and finally a rabbi said, you know what? You're out. You're cursed. Get out. So do you know where Justin moved? Next door to the synagogue. And Paul comes, and he talks to the synagogue. He wins a lot of the Jews over, but then pretty soon they get mad at him, so he moves next door with Justice. And Justice entertains him while he preaches in Corinth for a long period of time. Justice was a loyal Christian Jew. And we're going to see that he goes to the Gentile and wins Gentiles to the Lord because he's so excited about Jesus Christ. And I think the second point here is he sees Paul's ministry as valid, just as these other people do. And his message valid. How irritating for them to live next door to the synagogue. You know, it'd almost be like if there's a building right next door to us, and so a church sets up to try to take all of you to go over there. It'd be kind of irritating, wouldn't it? You'd get a little defensive. And according to Acts chapter 15, in the Jerusalem council where the apostles met to try to figure out what Paul's preaching, because they're used to Christianity following the law of Moses and adding Christ and adding all these things together. And Paul's preaching this message to Gentiles and said, you don't have to even think about the law of Moses. And they gather together in Acts 15 in this Jerusalem council to figure out what in the heck is going on. You see the parallel in Galatians chapter 1 and 2. And finally they come to the place and Paul and Peter stands up and just says, you know what? You're right, Paul. God's given you a message, which is to go to the Gentiles and not have the yoke of the bondage of the law on your back, but by grace. And we see in Galatians, he understands that. Peter, James, and John give him the right hand of fellowship. And then they write a letter, they put it together, and who do you think they gave the letter to take to the Gentile churches? Justice. They gave it to Faithful Justice and Faithful Luke, and Justice and Luke took it to Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia to let them know they are not under the law of Moses, that they're saved by grace. Man, how great. How wonderful. I'm telling you, Tychius, Mark, Justice, they were not ordinary Jews. They were not ordinary church sitters. Man, these guys were something. They turned the world upside down with Paul. And yet, we can go back in every one of their lives, and if you remember, disaster happened in their life. Failure happened in their life. Things didn't work out the way they wanted them to work out, and yet God used them more than most. Because I personally believe you got to fail before you could succeed, especially in the ministry. You've got to come to a place in your life where you fail and you get to the end of your own self and your own flesh, and that's when God says, okay, now I can start using you. Now I can use you. I feel like that we desire to have the same kind of ministry that Paul had. And I look at Paul, and Paul wasn't alone. He had a team with him. He had a lot of people with him helping him. And they turned the world upside down. And I look at us as Harvest Fellowship. We're in a building program to get to a place where we can concentrate on the ministry instead of putting things away. This Thursday school starts, we got to put all this stuff away. We got to tear up the metal building down there and put it all away. We've got to take all the classes and tear them down and put them away and hide all the stuff so it's not stolen or broken. And we spend an inordinate amount of time doing that because we don't have our own building. And I'm thinking within a year, we're going to be in our own building. And we're going to apply the ministry rather than the set up and tear down. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you how excited I feel about that. I'm not excited about the new building. I'm excited about the increase in ministry. I'm excited that we can come to a place where we can begin to do what Paul was doing with these Jews, with these Gentile disciples. I'm telling you, I'm excited because I can see our abilities going into discipleship rather than folding chairs and folding tables. I can see us, you know, when those guys went down to the rescue mission and they lead people to Christ, they have no way of being able to follow up. You know what? We do. John and I right now are working on a system to bring the new Christians in and get them grounded because that's been kind of a missing piece, and we're 3/4 of the way there. And we're going to be doing that, and think what that's going to be, especially as we have all these visitors coming to look at the inside of our church and see, do we put all the lights in the right place? Do we have good music? Is the preacher very good? All those kind of things are going to happen. And we're going to be able to lead them to Jesus Christ, to a new relationship with Christ, to disciple them, ground them, equip them for the ministry, and get them into service. And that thrills me. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're here and you've had these collapses in your life, you're supposed to have those collapses. I'm just going to be honest. You're supposed to have had those failures. You're supposed to have gone out into a ministry and burned out, and you're supposed to have done all those things, because God can't use you till you're His. And it's a tough thing going through these things. I sat last night and I counseled a guy till midnight because his life is crashing. And he says, "Do you think it's right that I'm in pain?" And I had to give him the bad news. I think it's great. Because God's changing your life. You're going to become someone that God can use. And right now, you're almost worthless. That's a hard thing to tell somebody. And we got to the place we held hands and we prayed together because he realized, you know what? You're absolutely right. My mission in life is to be happy, to be married, to do all these kind of things. And he had forgotten what his mission was for Jesus Christ. And we prayed together. And he said, "Will you pray for me all week? Because I know my head's going to go back to the things that aren't Christ." And I said, "You bet, I'll pray for you." That's the ministry we want, isn't it? That's the ministry that we want to see change. There's places that we can have great joy and comfort in Jesus Christ, and we have it, and we're going to be in a place that we can double share compared to what we're doing now. And you know who's my encouragement? Justice. Man, he got turned down for being one of the 12 disciples, and he didn't quit. He only went on to become one of the greatest disciples of Paul. All the way to Rome, serving him as Paul was shackled to the soldiers. And I'm just telling you today, if you feel discouraged, if you feel down, it's okay. There's up, there's tomorrow, there's vision, there's mission, because Jesus Christ is after you. He is not running away from you. He's running towards you. He's just waiting for you to get to the end of yourself. Do you believe that's true? Let's pray.